Atama, good morning.
Hi, how are you going?
Yeah, very well, thanks. Thanks for joining us on The Daily. Now, first off, where have we seen the most significant disparity between admission requirements compared to the scores of students who are actually admitted into courses?
Well, I think it's important to know that this is not the overall picture of what we're seeing in enrollment. So what you saw here is essentially the number of offers being below 30 or ATAR, low ATAR students, essentially. But it's important to note is not all offers would be accepted.
Mm-hmm.
So, in fact, low ATAR students are less likely to accept their offers than high ATAR students. And, in fact, it's only 40%. So not all of these students would actually enroll in their courses. And another thing to note is that once they've accepted their courses, not all of them would actually stay until the end of the year. So, when we're talking about, low ATAR students, it's important to know that there's many more filters along the way, and offers is not a be-all and end-all unit of measure.
Mm. So on this kind of scale, here in New South Wales, and I guess on a national scale, have we seen this kind of trend happening in tertiary education in regards to entry requirements or in regards to offers in recent years?
We do. We do see that in Victoria as well, that a large proportion of students are being admitted below the cutoff that is advertised. But that doesn't actually mean that the number of enrolments has been much significantly worse than before the demand-driven system. So
what exactly is this actually being attributed to?
Well, I think it's important. Having math education when you encourage many more students, and with the demand-driven system being going on for a few years now, means that people, low ATAR students are now more likely to consider going to higher education. So, but it's still important to note that low ATAR students still represents less than 6% of total enrolment.
Fair enough. No, that's quite intriguing. But some of these practices have taken place at some of the highest ranked universities in the country. What does this mean for Australia's, the competition between universities as both an educational provider and providing a skilled workforce?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting question because, if you don't publish the ATAR that you would expect students to have, so that they could know exactly what they need to have to be admitted, is probably somewhat misleading to students when they actually choose which universities they want to apply to. So that's the first thing, and it's important to make sure that the information provided to students is correct. But when you're talking about standing of our universities, if you're talking about reputation or, use international rankings, for example. Since 2001, our universities have been doing much better than they used to in international rankings. Mm-hmm. And that's mostly driven by our research. So if you're talking about prestige and reputation and our standing of our universities, I don't think it's going worse just because we have a larger pool of low ATAR students in our universities. It just means that, we're giving people more opportunities in our higher education system.
Well, Tama, thank you very much. Do appreciate your insight into this one this morning, because as you say, it is something, regardless of the facts and figures, can very badly affect the reputation of Australian universities. So do appreciate you coming on to set the record straight.
Thank you.
You have a very good day.
Bye.